Hello? Hello? Hello?
Well, hi, this is Dave. Welcome, everybody.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, thanks for your promptness here. Questions,
yep.
Thoughts, other reflections about any of our first three seminars? Clarifications about anything?
No, I missed the last one, so I'm behind.
Okay. What about a progress note from any of you in terms of what you've been doing with writing, and have you incorporated any of you, have you incorporated anything that we've been talking about?
I haven't been doing anything.
Who's been, who has? Positive progress note here. What's going on? Anyone?
Well, you want my feedback or not?
Sure.
Tell
me who this is.
This is Lynn Baginski in Denver.
Hi, welcome. Go ahead.
Hi. You know, it's not a very satisfying program.
Okay,
you
so
read
what
would
make it better?
Well, I don't know. Maybe adding some audio or, I don't know. I just don't do well with these kinds of classes. I need to sit in front of a teacher and have interaction.
Okay.
It's just so one-sided.
Outline,
I mean,
did the annotated outline help you to follow along so you didn't have to add a bunch of notes to what you heard and what we talked about?
Well, that did help, yes.
Okay.
And I've used that, and I've taken my own notes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask for written feedback from all of you, so I welcome any kind of feedback that you have. And anything that you'd like to add, I'll be eager to hear.
Okay.
Other thoughts, questions, comments?
I think I'm the only one that's here.
There's some others on, but they're lurking.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let me begin with our final topic today about the business of writing, and I'll save some time again for us to have discussion. So I'll put us on lecture mode. A brief recap now as we move into talking about the business of writing, because I think it's helpful at this point to discuss selling your story. We've been talking about telling your story. Now, let's talk about selling your story, the business of writing. Writing is like selling. It must solve a problem or meet a need. So, do your groundwork. Foster connections and affiliations. Do research. Develop marketing strategies. Gather information, such as critique groups, classes, conferences, networks. For nonfiction books, Remember that publishers buy a book proposal and the first chapter if you want to go in a traditional publishing route. We're going to talk about the different ways of having your book in a business context, what the business of writing is going to be about, the application. So the three secrets of writing success: choose what you want, believe it will be yours, and take positive action toward that goal every day. So as a coach, consultant, or business person, you already know how to do the thing writers find most difficult: to think about the sale. The essence of publishing, it's a business with a bottom line, with risk, with a marketplace, with a business goal. You create and market a product, your knowledge, ultimately your writing. So a writer may mistakenly put all energy into crafting a message rather than thinking like a business person. Both are necessary. So let's revisit three questions as we focus on the business of writing. One, how do you write a book? The same way you began seeing yellow Jeeps after visualizing one. Once you began to think about writing a book, you began to see things in different ways. You hear vignettes. Ideas crystallize. You develop awareness of what you say and how you say it. It makes you a better listener, can make you a better speaker. And remember, no one ever sits down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences on a page. Two, why do you want to write? Possibilities: to sell the book, to develop a second career, to further your existing career, to learn something, for the joy of writing, to make a difference, or some combination. And remember the third, for whom do you write? The first authentic answer is for yourself. And you must respect the marketplace. Be attuned to needs. Provide answers. Make your approaches to answers accessible. You attune to existing needs as well as remain true to your own story. Your gift to readers is who you are and the work you do to keep the clarity of your message, yourself, and to convey it simply. So let's look now at practical options for getting your book published. And you'll see from the outline there are a number. First, self-publish. You can form your own publishing company. And I'm talking here about doing everything from soup to nuts. And I'll illustrate the steps from my experience in doing a book this way. And an advantage up front is each book can cost you $2 to $3 to print, depending on the quality. If you publish a book that companies or large groups can use, you can sell multiples of several thousand. Since you control the printing, you can sell to a corporation that wants 10,000 books for its people, and you can easily include a letter from the CEO as the first page of the book. So here are the considerations and the steps to constructing your book if you want to self-publish. Now, these price figures are estimates. They're based on 250-word typewritten double-spaced pages. First, editing. After completing the manuscript and doing your job of editing, you'll need to get it edited by a professional editor. And the cost here is a few to several hundred dollars depending on the length of the book. Email me when you get this to this step if you want to choose the option that I use, and I'll give you a personal introduction to the head of an editing consortium that I use. He will match your work to an editor that's knowledgeable in that area for the most reasonable fee around. Two is formatting. Remember, you're publishing the book yourself, so you want it to look like a book, not a manuscript that you are getting bound. So you need to get it formatted for a book, to look like a book rather than typewritten page. So here, somewhere around $500, plus or minus $100 or $200. Then if you index it, this is the next step, because you have to have it formatted first, because the index will be with the specific page indication. So This is around $300 to $400. Graphic design. Now, this can be simultaneous with these three steps. You get a graphics firm or person to do the book cover and spine, and this is maybe $300 to $400, and ditto for the referral. I'll give you the person who I use, who I've come to use for a number of training manuals and a couple of books. Another, you'll need to get an ISBN number and barcode. Now, reasonable services are available online, about $100 for both. Printing, you send all of these to a book printer, and depending on how many, like several hundred, you can get them for $2 or $3 each. Warehousing and distribution. If you arrange warehousing your book to handle orders, if you sell single copies, and that warehouser, that publisher, fulfills the order and does single sales, then that can be an easy step for you. Now, that's the most complicated, and I'm not recommending that. I just want you to be aware of all the steps, because anything other than that involves only some of the steps. So, the second is subsidy publishing. With a subsidy publisher, you pay part of the publishing cost. The benefit is that you have a publishing house that does all the above work except editing, so you do the writing and then having it edited. Now, unless you negotiate hard, you won't have influence in any of these choices, including the cover. Now, a third option is print on demand. This is probably the one you may be familiar with most, other than ebooks. Packages at print-on-demand publishers such as iUniverse or AuthorHouse, these usually are around $500 to $1,000 depending on the package. You need to submit the edited manuscript. They do all the subsequent steps of publishing I've mentioned, along with placing your book with a book distributor and placing it on outlets like Amazon.com. Then, you get copies at an author's discount. They determine the price, though. That's the zinger. And you get about 40% off the cover price. And they set the cover price usually pretty high. It's around $25 for a paperback. So you purchase it, say, for $15. Then if you sell for the retail, you make $10. Now, the benefit here is it gets your book out there. You have a book within a few months, and you get to actively participate in the cover choice. So it's not going to make you significant money, but it gets your book out there, and it gets it professionally done. It gets it available on Amazon, and it's accessible. For a fulfillment house, and let me tell you what that does and the way that that can be an option for certain things. A fulfillment house will take an order for your book, print it, prepare it for shipping, and mail it to the purchaser. They'll have a stock printed of however many you designate so it can be shipped in a timely way. They work with an edited manuscript and cover art from a disc. So those are the two things that you provide them, the edited manuscript and the art, front, back, and spine. With this option, you have completed the manuscript, edited it, formatted it for the particular style you want, and have the graphics for the front and back cover and a spine done by a graphics firm or person. Now, what I find this useful for, this is a useful option for training material and workbooks. I use the same fulfillment house for all of my MentorPath training publications and workbooks that Coach Training Alliance does for, say, the Accelerator and other, like the three-ring binder material that you get. This is a useful option. And so I have curriculum and workbooks for New Life Story Wellness, coaches training, New Money Story Mentor Training, and each of the, like, a workbook and five CDs for some of the teleseminars I've done. So this is very useful because once it's in place, somebody places an order, you simply get a notice that they purchased your product, and you get the payment, and the fulfillment house ships it to them. So they'll only print the number of the copies of the book or the product you request to have on hand for fulfillment, for example, to have 10. So all the examples I just mentioned are three-ring binders with an index tab for each chapter, and I call each chapter a module because I number them separately. I can add pages or update it with current research without having to redo the whole document. So you can see cover examples of some of the products at my website, MentorPath. And you can see them at Coach Training Alliance to look at the Sage and Scholars Guide or the Accelerator. All of these are done by this same process. A fifth option, a traditional publishing house with an agent. Now, for nonfiction books, you submit a book proposal and the first chapter to an agent. That's all you need. The first chapter shows how you can write it. Royalties usually range from maybe 10 to 20% in increasing increments according to the number of copies sold. An initial advance on royalty is customary for beginning authors, somewhere around $5,000 to $10,000. And you can do an advance on royalty that the publisher may offer for a couple of reasons. It's money for you, no questions about that. And it's the publisher's commitment for your book. Now, remember, for a traditional publishing house, you have to have it first accepted by an agent. And that's a challenge because the agent will ask you the same questions the publisher asks the agent. What's your platform? How many books can you sell? What's your following? And what will you do to promote your book? Because they expect you, in current time, to sell most of the books that are sold yourself, which is one reason to think, as some people do, well, if I'm going to sell it myself, I'm going to publish it myself. Another option, number six, partnering with a foundation or a company. This is the only option of these that I haven't done. For this option, a foundation or a company may support the writing and the promotion of your book to further their cause. They may pay you. You may have a contract with them to write it. The author usually has a special tie with the organization, and they either pay for it or you donate a significant portion of the proceeds to that group. Seven, an ebook. Very common, very popular. An ebook can be set up for an automatic purchase from your website. My website has ebooks set up with automatic links for their download when somebody pays. And this can be very useful because your incremental cost for each book published is zero. So once you set it up and have it on a website, somebody purchases it, they get an immediate one-time download. So this makes your book available anywhere in the world. And this is one of the benefits of having anything that you publish also available by ebook. And to keep the ebook rights yourself if you don't publish it yourself, but to have the ebook yourself, let's follow this example, it's available anywhere in the world for immediate download so that somebody has the benefit of a low cost and absolutely no cost for shipping. It's a great option for international purchasers because shipping costs are really high outside North America. So these are the options, and there are easy ways to do an ebook now. For example, the last ebook I did was a compilation of case studies using the roadmap system for people who had trained with me as New Life Story Wellness Coaches and New Money Story Mentors. There are 32 case studies, and I annotated the five different sections and introduced it and made this available to all the people who contributed a chapter to promote their businesses so they could see and their clients could see, their potential clients could see exactly what this kind of process was about and the benefit that someone could get by seeing them. And the total cost for me, it cost more, way more up front. It cost me about $1,500, $1,600 to have it format, to have it edited, because there are 32 different contributors. And then to process it through BookBaby was about $500. So the cost to me with some additional formatting was around $2,300. Usually, if you simply do an ebook and have it edited and do it like with BookBaby, which is an Amazon company, or some package like that, you can do it for several hundred dollars, under $1,000. Now, this may be something you simply want to do to promote your practice and make it available for a low cost. This book, Successful Life Story Transformations, is available on Amazon, but it's also something that I have on my website that is free to download, that the different coaches simply send someone that link and it downloads for free. Now, another thing to consider, copyright. For any form or venue of publishing, from article to book, always keep the copyright on any work you produce. Never sign it over to anyone else under any circumstances. This is your intellectual property. Same with a chapter you contribute to a book. If you decide to do that, keep the copyright yourself. Never sign it away to somebody else. It's your intellectual property. Now, the law grants you automatic copyright protection when you create your work. It doesn't have to be complicated or signed to, you know, yourself through a government form. You own the copyright on your work as you create it. So what I'm saying is registration isn't required, but there are advantages to doing it. And here are the most two prominent advantages. Registration establishes a public record of the copyright claim. And if before any infringement of copyright, suit can be filed in court, registration is necessary for works of U.S. origin. So let's look now in very practical ways. This is just simply, you know, the highlights for each of these ways of publishing. I think I've covered them all. So why self-publish? Self-publishing used to be a stigma that agents or serious authors would look at with disdain. Increasingly, it's become a way of operation, even recommendation by some agents. So self-publishing has a number of benefits. One, control. With a traditional publishing house, you sign an exclusive agreement that prevents you from having input about most of the decisions that affect your book, including the cover and the release date. If your book doesn't sell quickly and the publisher lets it go out of print, there's often a waiting period before you're allowed to seek another publisher and a time period before you can publish another book. Now, also, with a traditional publisher, they will keep the ebook rights, and they will decide what they charge for that. So, no control there. A second, money. A contract with a book publisher does not necessarily give you a guarantee that your book will get on the bookstore shelves or how long it will stay there if it actually makes it. If you're a new author, your publisher will allocate little to no marketing dollars to promote your book. If it does well, it'll be largely by your own hand, and your reward will be a fraction of the book's total profits. The last book through a traditional publishing house that I released, The Secret Language of Money, was by McGraw-Hill, and they determined the price, and they kept the ebook rights and price, too. But what we did was to create a marketing timetable so that the date that it was released, all of the emails from all of my affiliates and all of their portals were all released on the same date. And at that particular date, there were like 1,300,000 emails sent from all of my list, which was, you know, three or four, all of my affiliates and all of their people. So that's how they orchestrate maybe a jump to one of the better reviewed and higher ranks on Amazon by doing it all at one time. So I say that because you can do the same thing if you self-publish. I've had buddies and participated in doing that with them. Three, waiting and rejection. Realistically, first-time authors have difficulty breaking into a blue-chip publishing house. Many nonfiction book projects are time-sensitive, and you may not want to wait 18 to 24 months for your book to be published. I have a sequel to The Secret Language of Money. I completed the sequel 18 months ago. It's still not at Barnes & Noble. Four, autonomy. Self-published authors usually have confidence and have developed a following by giving talks and seminars. As an expert in your area, you may not need a publisher's approval. You may also happen to like being in the driver's seat of your book project. There's a great deal of autonomy and mastery in doing it yourself. Five, the power of belief. You probably believe deeply that others will benefit from reading what you have to say, or you wouldn't be listening to this right now or wanting to get your message into more permanent form. And I'll bet that's an unshakable conviction. I also bet that a deep belief motivates what you do as well as what you write, a strong sense of purpose. That's why you need to write a book and sell a book. You may want to consider self-publishing if some or all of these fit. Also, there's no longer stigma attached to self-publishing, as I mentioned. And even like a decade and a half ago, it was still a death knell for an author to self-publish a first book. The producers at that time were called vanity presses. Now it's accepted, sometimes necessary. And as I said, I've heard major agents recommend it to certain authors to test the market or to launch into the market. And then sometimes major publishers take on books that have been self-published. Let me give you an example here. My first venture many, many years ago into non-traditional publishing, to me at the time, meant other than a major professional or trade publishing house, was Making Memories, the book I've referenced before. When I did Making Memories, I did it essentially as therapy for myself. I began writing it a year and a half before my son, my oldest, left for college. I completed it a year after my youngest, my daughter, left for college. It was my way of saying goodbye to parenting, the most important thing that I'd done. I needed to bring closure to an entire era of my life without burdening them. I was mourning their childhood as well as the kid I could be with them again. I wanted both my children to know someday what it was like being their parent from my perspective, as if they didn't already, and I didn't want an editor to touch a single comma of it. I wanted it to be exactly what I said, the way I said it, and not have to worry about marketing. For the cover, I wanted a picture I took of my own abstract sculpture of a dad holding two children that was by my bedside. Now, it was the most fun I've ever had writing. It happened that the book was successful because an interview in a newspaper was picked up and syndicated, and for a time it became number one on Amazon. But the point here, nobody cares more about your book than you do. So, continuing with the business of your book, let's look at titles that tell and sell. 3 to 5 words that capture the essence of the book's promise. Does the title sell? An answer, not a question. A solution, not a problem. Is the title positive and empowering? Is the title a memorable image or metaphor or symbol that captures the essence of the book? Is it a hook? Is the title a prescription for the cure that the book will provide, if that's the case? Does a title make a promise the book is going to fulfill? Does the title offer your unique position, your good news? And does the title speak to one of the five great marketing motivators? Fear, wouldn't recommend that. Exclusivity, guilt, greed, or the need for approval. Now, greed has a bad reputation, but its definition is a rapacious desire for more. That is a passion to tell and sell your story. Does the title appeal to the needs and values of potential readers? And does the subtitle clearly spell out the benefits of reading the book? That's the purpose. The purpose of the title is to tell and sell. The purpose of the subtitle is to tell the benefits that someone will get by reading your book. Look at some of your most notable nonfiction books on your bookshelf. Look at the titles, the ones that have grabbed you, or simply go to the nonfiction section of your local bookstore. See what grabs you. And look at the second thing you look at, which is the title, the subtitle, because that's going to tell you what you're going to get out of the book if you read the book. So, here's an exercise. Brainstorm titles. Brainstorm a title for your book. Make an appointment with yourself. Get in a creative state. Get grounded and centered. And think about all the titles that you can, all the words that come to your mind. Don't censor or try to focus in one direction, but here's where you want to free associate. Just get creative. Brainstorm a stream of consciousness. Allow a free flow of ideas. Write them each down. Put down anything and everything that comes to you. I'd suggest come up with 30 potential titles that you write down. Then another exercise, brainstorm a subtitle. Do the same thing with your subtitle. Same free flow, just not at the same time you're brainstorming your titles, because this is going to be a little bit of a different part of your brain. Carve out a separate time for this exercise. Brainstorm 30 possible subtitles. Then, come back to your brainstorm titles at a different time, after you put them away for at least 24 hours, and then select your favorites. Do the same for the subtitles. Then come back to each a third time and look at how they fit together. This is where you want to juxtapose the two and to see if you've gotten down to two or three or four favorites of title and subtitle. See how they blend together. Then, a separate exercise, bullet points. Write 5 to 6 bullet points of benefits readers will get by reading your work. Make them brief, clear, simple. So, here's one notion of a publishing roadmap for nonfiction. And this is roughly in the order of occurrence. Come up with your idea. Do your homework. What's it? What else is out there? What do you have that's unique? Choose whether you're going to type, dictate, or write your material. Make it what fits your style the best. Do you like to see the words appear as you type them? Do you work better by speaking and use a dictation device? Or do you like the experience of writing it out on yellow pads? Research your topic and your competition. 5, develop a title and subtitle. 6, Find similar books to model and to distinguish yourself. If you're afraid there might be a kind of a subtle copying here, skip this step, but be aware of what's out there, because you don't want to duplicate it, and you want yours to be unique. Design a working cover page. Draw it out, even if you can't draw. It's something that will give you a picture of what your book is going to look like. Create a mock-up of the front and the back of your book. Set up a binder to hold your materials. Write out a basic structure for your book. Chapter titles, overall concepts, and chronology. Then, organize your ideas into chapters. Now, you may already be using, to do this, the book outline, the book proposal outline form that you've seen in your outline here from me, or one of the two books. I would recommend both of them that are referenced that are about writing a book proposal. Remember, even if you don't submit it to an agent, writing a book proposal is for you. It's your blueprint. So, then generate a complete book proposal, even if you're self-publishing or doing an e-book. And then create your first draft of chapter one. This is traction. This is getting you going in the process of converting everything into a beginning, a first chapter. Edit and review the first draft then to create a second draft. And read, at some point, read your draft out loud as one of the editing steps. So here are some, and this is all in the outline. And I'm just highlighting these here. But here are some miscellaneous points that I want to be sure that I mentioned to you, because these are ones that I have seen as important at some time or the other, and I want to be sure I mentioned the big ones here. The two crucial elements are executing and marketing. So half of what you do is marketing. You don't have to be Lance Armstrong to teach people to ride a bicycle. Find what you want to most learn about and write about it. That's the process for every one of my books and every one of the white papers and every one of the ebooks. I write about what I most want to learn about. If you're blocked, skip past it and move on to the next thing. Or even better, if you're blocked, look at getting grounded and centered and getting back in the flow. If you get blocked in writing, get somebody else in the room and tell them what you're trying to say that you're blocked on. Or consider recording it and play it back to you. Once you explain it, it gives you a different perspective. Maybe record, or even better, video yourself pitching your idea. Then get somebody else or even a small focus group to critique your pitch. Your description, simple, specific, clear, brief. Communicate your message when you're writing, and communicate the value to the reader when you're selling. So, the question that you'll be asked, the question you should begin to ask yourself already, right now, is where to build platform. This is the best thing you can do for the preparation for the business of your book. So, if you're working on a book project, what do you do first? Write your book, set up a website or a blog, start an e-zine, or what do you do first? It does matter, and what you decide depends on your destination. So, let's look at it from the end looking back. For a major book deal, to publish with a big publisher, you do things differently from what you do to fill a coaching practice, or establish yourself as a professional speaker, or develop a book as quickly as possible to sell from the back of the room when you do presentations. Your platform, your presence in the marketplace, is simply how many people know you and why people know you. Your brand is going to be how you get connected to audiences. For a major publicity or major book deals, existing platform is crucial to sell your book as well as to build business and expand your audience. Growing your platform is essential. And again, I mentioned that for a major book deal, the first question an agent asks the author, because that's the first question the publisher asks the agent, what's the platform? Who knows you? How many people do you know who will buy your book? So here are some considerations to build your platform. The first 10 are your email list. So whatever you can do to expand your email list. Now, that includes and should include all media, the various kinds of media that you connect with. That's email, that's blog, that's Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, business to business. Think about all of the social and the business media that you need to be connected with, know how it works, and can market your book. Now, just to tell you very briefly, some of you have heard this. Whenever I published with McGraw-Hill, they nudged me to write a blog. I had not done a blog at that time. At the time that they accepted the book and it was coming out, I had done a newsletter, and I loved doing the newsletter and sending out to the people who responded back and forth. And I had a really nice group of people, a large number of people, through my email because I had offered different white papers on my website for somebody to sign up, and I'd send a newsletter. Now, it took me doing a blog, it took 4 months for me to get as many subscribers as it did 4.5 years through my website and the newsletter. A blog can go viral very quickly. It can be a huge benefit to everything that you do because there are blog search engines. You can set up a blog to have it automatically post the title, a sentence or two, and the link to Twitter, to Facebook, to LinkedIn. It can automatically be posted to these sites, and you don't have to. So you want to also think about affiliate partnerships, maybe writing articles in various kinds of publications, doing webinars, having a webinar available on your website if you have a website, speaking, workshops, seminars, publications and trade journals. There's a whole list, a whole number of bullets in your outline. And you may think about developing your following by doing teleseminars and webinars, various kinds of media exposure and contacts, podcasts, teleseminars, a number of things. Be sure with everything you do, from website to speaking engagements, that you have a way to capture email addresses. This is the equity of the Internet, email addresses with a permission to send a notice. Then establish an ongoing communication with people who become your audience. 2, another reason here that we're talking about in terms of platform, to enhance a coaching practice. Brand and niche are important. Your brand is your promise. What's your promise? What's the good news of your book? The aha. Make sure you have a way to connect with potential clients and readers from your website and blog. Articles may help distribute your message and presence. 3, perhaps become a professional speaker. The easiest way is to have a book. Now, that's kind of, what do you do, the chicken or the egg? But even with a book, you need to become proficient at public speaking. Begin with Toastmasters, I would suggest. Evolve to workshops, maybe keynotes, or through an organization like National Association of Speakers. You will need a strong niche and brand. On your website, you will need to have a branded presence. For major media, for magazines, TV, other media, your biggest priority is to stand out in your area of expertise. So one way to become known in that area of expertise is to develop a blog that becomes referenced, that becomes something that you can generate a following. And if you've done like Google Alerts and use keywords there, you'll see how when you get an email delivered to you with all the references on your Google Alert topic, blogs are included. That's how blogs become viral. So be aware of keywords and those kind of ideas. Now, white papers are also useful. They're persuasive documents that describe problems and how to solve them. It's a cross between a magazine article and a brochure. A white paper usually focuses on translating something into practical application or business advantages. An example, I did a mentor group today with my coaches who I've trained as New Life Story Wellness Coaches, New Money Story Mentors. I include a white paper each of the quarterly mentor groups. The one today was on the brain science of story, of looking at how we can use stories, including in coaching, including in recommendations for coaching, the elements of a story that our brain is pre-wired to appreciate. So think about what you want to develop. What do you want to learn most about? Write about it. It'll be your best way of doing that. So here are some things, just in a summary, that you can do to promote your book. Buy a domain name as soon as you have a title for your book. You want to nail that domain name. Start your own blog. And there are formats that you can do. Blogger.com, WordPress has a great format. There are formats. You don't need a website to start a blog. Write some articles or write some blogs on your topic. Get business cards. Begin to think about a marketing plan. Maybe do an internet search for writer conferences or book festivals in your area. Think about an email signature to promote your book and message for each email you send once you have a book. You can have every email that has the title of your book and a link for information about it or a link for purchase of the book if it's an ebook. You'll want to write a press release and substitute it to free online press release sites, maybe even for local publications or business publications in your area that do book reviews. Write a brief bio that you have ready for everything from pitching to the media to introducing you at a presentation. In addition to starting your own blog, you may want to also start an email newsletter. You may not want to do both, but think about the advantages of both. You may want to look at and be aware of anything related to your topic in the news. If it is, write a letter to the editor to share your expertise and promote your book. You may get an interview. You may get an article. You may simply be someone they come to discuss something. Add any reviews to your website. What somebody else has to say is 1,000 times more effective for promotion than what you say. When you release a book, request people to review it on Amazon. You will want to develop a list of people you may ask for testimonials for your book prior to its release. Not too early to start doing that from the very beginning. And the final, get to work on your next book. Sometimes the best way to sell your first book is by beginning and thinking about how you're going to promote your second. Authors who get published still need to do a lot of marketing. Books with a special interest, niche audience, which tend to have maybe regular steady sales, are ideal for print on demand. If you're happy with small but steady sales, if you want to get started, get your book out there and have it as a reference for anything you do, from corporate consulting to work or presentations with individuals or group, I'd say a print on demand. And I mentioned the usual places that do really good jobs: Ex Libris, Author House, iUniverse, and they do a soup to nuts after you do the editing of the book. Now, if on the other hand, if you want to make a business of your book, if you want to try to make a lot of money at it, self-publishing may be the right choice, since you get all the revenue. The upfront fee is bigger, the chance is bigger, but at the end of the day, there's the option of making a lot more money. If you have a story to tell and the commitment to execute it in a really cogent way, your story deserves to find a market. Making the success of any self-published book takes time and money. Same with any of these different modes of, or different avenues of publishing I've mentioned. So this is something that you'll want to think about doing in an ongoing way. Let me give you an example. Marketing figured really prominently in the success of L. Trevor Grant's book on New York City's foster care program. You know, who would want to buy a book? I mean, that may sell a few, but after being rejected by publishers all over town, all across the country, Dr. Grant, a former social worker with child welfare agencies, decided to publish the book himself. He managed to get the book seen by nearly everyone who had something to do with child welfare or was studying it in college. Then somebody saw the book and called Geraldo Rivera at the time. You got to have this guy on your show. His life has never been the same since. His book is used as a teaching school, still in schools of social work. Jack Canfield said he sent a copy of his new book to jurors on the O.J. Simpson trial. Whenever the TV cameras panned the jurors during recess, most of them were reading his book. Sales skyrocketed. Most people who buy books will know something about the subject of the book. A much smaller percent will know the author, and nobody knows anything about the publisher. Readers don't care who publishes a book. It's the readers we write for. So to publicize your book, you have to capture people's attention in a world filled with media noise. Remember your silver bullet: the clear, sharply focused description of your book that explains what it's about, why it's special, and the precise benefits it will provide to readers. Now, I want to mention one more thing, because I want to save time for questions, especially about this. The business of writing, the actual business. So here's my preface so I can say what I want to say to you. In all matters regarding your tax return, be certain to consult a qualified professional. Now, let's talk. Many of you know about these business deductions already. You can deduct business expenses related to the business of your writing. Include supplies, equipment, books, subscription, expenses related to research, marketing expenses, advertising, promotion, business-related meals and travel. Why do you think so many novels are written in Rome, Paris, or Monte Carlo instead of downtown Newark? Now, the key to these deductions: keep adequate records. Document the business purpose. If you don't already have one for a related business like coaching, consider opening a separate bank account and taking out a separate credit card for business expenses. A separate business name would help. Now, for some time now, I have rarely committed a non-deductible act. So, now a final thought, a secret, a Zen story for authors. The thought. Once you start writing, you'll never look at a piece of writing the same way again. Once you begin capturing your thoughts and musings, you'll feel a magnetic pull to continue. When you find your personal style for capturing thoughts, images, and feelings, whether it's writing on a yellow pad, seeing your words materialize on a computer screen, or holding a dictation device to speak to an imagined audience, it will have its own appeal. Think of experiences that have been pivotal for you in opening new awareness. After my first cross-country bicycle trip with a buddy, I've never looked at inclines and trains in the same way, without immense appreciation. As a photographer, I see light and framing in a different way. After my first watercolor class, I've never seen an aspen tree since without thinking of particular wrist motion to get that downward branch etching on the trunk. Something God knew in her infinite wisdom since the beginning of time. Your book will take on a life of its own. Now, I hope our time together to consider some notions about the art, the craft, the science, and the business of writing has been helpful. I hope it's perturbated some notions to think about it more. Maybe perturbating as well as affirming. And I hope in a small way to guide and inform you to make a difference for yourself and for others with your present and future books. The secret? One book is like one potato chip. And finally, a Zen story for authors. An oak tree is brought into creation by two simultaneous forces. One is the acorn from which it begins, the seed holding all the promise and the potential for the full mature tree. The other force is the future tree itself, which desires so powerfully to exist that it pulls the seed, the acorn, into being. It draws forth from the germ and guides the evolution from nothingness to maturity. In this respect, it is the oak tree that creates the acorn from which it is born. Your book desires creation. You already are in a unique relationship with it. Listen carefully. Nurture it. Prune it. Let it grow and be born. Thoughts, questions, comments from anyone? I know these aspects of the business were a whole number of things condensed. I wanted to just introduce you to some ideas to see which ones you might want to pursue so that you'd be aware of the spectrum of things out there, not to guide you to say which one, but to think about the destination and to back into that to see what may be the most sensible way for you to do that. Thoughts or questions from anyone? We just have a couple of minutes. I'd hope to have more time.
Hi, Dave. This is Holly. I just wanted to say thank you for everything. I have not put anything to work yet, but I plan on doing it late summer, and I'm really excited for the information I have to be able to use this. Thank you.
May I coach you for a moment?
Yes.
Write down when you plan to start, a specific time frame, and what that start will be so that it's tangible, specific, and so that you'll know as you approach it, because it's going to initiate an entire process that will unfold before it begins.
Right. Thank you. I like that. Specific goal of mine. Thank you.
Okay, great. Any other quick comment or question? Well, thank you all very much for participating, for the responses you've sent in the emails and the responses as we've talked. I'll be eager to hear a progress note from each of you. Let me know what you're doing, how this has sort of marinated or how it's catalyzed something, or If you have suggestions about anything to me, I welcome that. I'll be eager to hear from you. I'm really excited for the possibilities that you have, and I'll be very interested to know what you're doing, what you're up to, how your book is coming. So thanks very, very much, and go for it. Bye now.
Mm-hmm.